It's been a beautiful young people weekend. Everything I would want it to be and more. Unlikely people getting stirred by the Spirit last night. I love it. Beautiful. There's an image for you. Go back to that one. Yeah. What did your little Adeline, is it?
Adelaide.
Said, I've waited such a long time for you. So many generations just to be here with you. I want to hear you. Have given you and because we're lovers make everything new. That's what Christine is saying, see?
Yes.
That you can be that lover. How do you know that you can love that way? Well, ask Matt. What happened? He had a conversion. He had a frequency change. You know the frequency changes? I remember when we were in Canada, the clocks used to run on 40 cycles per second, electricity. 40 cycles per second, that's pretty good, you know. I couldn't move my hand that fast. But that light now is flickering at 60 cycles per second. You can see it if you move your hand across it this way. 60 times every second, it reverses polarity. So the clocks didn't work anymore. So the government, if you would bring your old clock in, you could trade it for a new one that would run on 60 cycles per second, so you could have your clock back. Right? That's called a conversion. I mean, Matt just absolutely had a conversion. He's in a different world. He's tuned into a different frequency. He feels a different love than what he's known. It's the same love. The same love is every love. But there are places where you can know love. And then you can know that love can do impossible things. Love is beyond any power that any man can exert over you. Love is greater than any ability that anyone has. Love itself is God itself.
Yes, it is.
It's what love is. And when you know something happens in you and love comes out of you that you've never dreamt, that you've never created, that you've tried and couldn't find, and all at once it comes out of you, then you know that you are part of that love. And then you shift identity. Then you become a new person.
Yes.
Then you shift. Then you realize you had your first taste of who you really are, and you create a hunger in you that will never be satisfied. It's the most wonderful, insatiable hunger you've ever known. And if you taste of it, just make room for it in your life. It'll eat you up. It'll find you when you can't find yourself. And you'll have to be with others that have it, because if you don't have it, you don't understand it. You just got to be around people that can feed that back to you to confirm you. So, but you don't want to separate yourself from those that don't, because that's the great place of your giving. To give those that have not, that excellence of love comes out in you in ways. So we're at that journey. So here's there is an old picture. But the picture isn't all that old. But the image is really, really, really old. T- 10,000 years. Luke said to his mom, I waited 10,000 years. Well, you know, 10,000 years B.C. is just about the time that this timepiece is looking at. Let me show you how that works in a minute, but I've looked at a number of different sources about this image, and the Egyptologists, they want the builders of the pyramid to be their ancestors. Because if their ancestors were smart enough and wise enough and powerful enough to build something like that, that gives us a lot of validity. Well, first of all, they probably weren't their ancestors in the first place. The pharaohs they're thinking about. They're probably not. But there's no question about the fact that the pharaohs did not build this pyramid. Now that's absolutely settled. A couple of American engineers went over there. They studied the erosion lines around the bottom of the Sphinx. They found a lot of water erosion around there, and there had been no water there since 10,000 B.C. to do that. But conventional wisdom prevails. The textbooks still say that Khufu built this pyramid. So it's an interesting phenomenon, and the Bible has something to say about it. In Jeremiah 19:19. Let me read that to you. Now remember now, I'm talking about this weekend. Now, I'm not talking about the Sphinx. That's just a diversion to get you there. Now I looked up all the different sources I could find that have an opinion about the age of the Sphinx. Now you notice it has the face of a lion or a woman, and if you see it from the side, it's the body of a lion. So that gives us a clue. If you want us to give us the other bunch of pictures. Here's the zodiac. Yeah, move that up a little bit. And I don't know how much you know about the zodiac. I know a little bit. That's Sagittarius, Scorpio. Some of you could probably name them all the way around, right? Virgo. I know that one. September the 15th. There's Leo, our barber. And there's Cancer. And then there's the twins. And if, as I'm saying those names, you're going through the months of the year, aren't you? You're thinking of your astrological sign. Well, let's flip this up one more picture here. We'll make a calendar out of this. This is taken off of a picture from a church in Europe somewhere in the Middle Ages, 1500s or so. There's all the astrological signs. You need a little stick or something to point these out. Maybe there isn't one. That might do.
Gotta use it for something.
Still available. Whatever you need. All right. Now, this is a 12-hour clock. Why didn't they make a 24-hour clock? If you stop to think about this, 24 hours in the day, why make a 12-hour clock? If you're in the army, you don't have a 12-hour clock. You got a 24-hour clock. Well, the reason being is because the months of the year form a yearly clock, one sign per month. And the sun goes through in the year, it goes through each of the 12 signs of the zodiac. It does it also daily. As the sun rises, you can't see the stars because the sky is bright, but it moves through all the signs of the zodiac. Makes a 12-hour clock, so you got to do it twice because, you know, in the whole day, it doesn't So here we are, 12 signs of the zodiac make a clock. Not only a daily clock, a yearly clock, but, and here comes the interesting thing. If you set them in this order like this, there is a certain motion of the earth called the precession of the equinoxes. You want to study it sometime, figure it out, it's all right. But I'll tell you the conclusion. What it means is that there is a cosmic clock. A clock that measures the ages of time. A 26,000 year cycle divided into 12 segments of almost 2,000 years each. We have a way to set ourselves and ask the question, what time is it? What time is it? Some watchman on the wall, tell us, what is the time? What are we about to leave and what are we about to enter in? Now, that's why, that's where you come in. You're leaving one age and you're entering another, and you are the portal that's making the opening for the gate to change.
That's it.
Now let me give you a couple examples. This has happened before. 2,000 years ago, a man came, John the Baptist. He stood in the river and he said, my only reason for being here is to give an intro to another. I don't know if John truly knew who the other was. I think he was. He was his cousin. But he just waited in that muddy river until one day his cousin Jesus came along and he said, one is coming after me who is preferred before me. Hallelujah. Whoa, this sounds like Adeline. I waited a long time because my only reason on the stage is to give an intro to this one that's coming. And then one day Jesus appeared on the River Jordan and he said, he pointed his bony finger at him and he made the one proclamation of his life. Behold! And I want to make a statement here about it. He said, behold, take a look and see. So right now there are agencies in heaven, angelic beings of light, that are standing on their stage. They're pointing to this weekend. They're pointing at you here this weekend in this gathering. And when your signal went off last night, when your illumination came, when your frequency was touched, when you changed, I saw you change. You weren't the same person you were at the beginning of the meeting. Anybody observing this,
yes,
as I was, made that very plain. And I'm very thankful first for Randy getting up and challenging you, and then Ruth putting a bonus on it. And I said, okay, this is the order of God, right? But until your frequency change came, you didn't know what they were wanting. You could hear their words, but you couldn't follow their sound until it happened. And then you were all over the place. You were there. You were entered in, right? Okay. So, Jesus looks at John the Baptist and he says, behold, a man from Nazareth. No, he didn't say that. He says, behold, a wonderful human being. No, he didn't say that. You could add almost anything that anybody ever said about Jesus, and he didn't say any of those things. Right? He says, if you want to really see this man is going to open a portal that has never been opened before, and he's going to allow you to see who the Lamb of God is. Behold, the Lamb of God. So everybody else has called Jesus the Lamb of God, and that's not wrong. And everybody said he came to take away the sin of the world. Well, obviously the sin isn't gone. But he took the power of it. That's because no, they wanted you to say, John was saying, this man is a portal. And if you look through this portal, you'll see something you could never see before. You'll see that there is a lamb. You'll see that there is an energy in God that's always been with God from the beginning time, that's always meeting your exigency and your need. And that's the Lamb of God.
Amen. Yes.
And it says so. It says, in Egypt, why did they eat that lamb? Because they were hungry. They ate the lamb because it gave them strength, vitality, youth, life for the
journey.
Journey. The journey. What journey are you on? Well, from the cradle to the grave, good. That's not a bad journey. From poverty to riches, also not a bad journey. From sadness to happiness, oh, there's all kinds of journeys. From the promised land to Canaan to the promised land, that was a journey. From the promised land to the United States of America, now that was a long journey. There's all kinds of journey. No, not that journey. The journey that you came when you were first conceived in God, and God had a heart and a desire, and you said, yes, I will be clothed with that desire, and I will become what it is you need me to become. That's the journey. That's the journey you need strength for. You need to walk it out. It's the journey that you need to sight, and you need life, and you need, and this lamb is God's eternal promise to you and to I, that he will never ever abandon, nor will he ever come short in providing anything that we need. In that great journey of change, of frequency, when the change becomes so difficult, almost impossible, you can't see your way, then you got to believe something. What is it you're going to believe? You're going to believe the promise of God that came in this man, Jesus Christ, saying that there is an eternal lamb from the foundation of time. Now God himself paid every motel bill, every traffic ticket, every gasoline bill, every repair of the way, everything you would ever need along the journey, it's already been paid, provided.
Yes.
So, who am I saying all this to? Maybe me. Maybe me. I need to. All right, here it is. See, 12, I just make this short because I want you to know that what's happening to you is happening to your eternal self. And you're feeling it in your physical body. And your physical body is a wonderful indicator, a wonderful ability to experience what your eternal self is. It's a wonderful way for God to realize something, because an other portal wants to be opened. And somebody wants to look into another portal and they want to see something. And there's an argument been going on in the universe for a long, long time. And it didn't start with the Christian church, or it didn't start between mom and dad, or it didn't start between any two agencies you can think of. There's been an argument going on. And the argument and the question is, can a being given free will, can a being given free will totally give his heart, soul, and mind to God? And they want an answer to the question. You better control it. All kinds of control paradigms. Have you watched those Koreans? Did you watch those Korean soldiers? Did you see them goose stepping again? Did you see it? You need to look at it. It's the Darth Vader complex. It's the thought that man is not capable of freedom. It's the thought that man is not capable of love. It's the thought that you are not capable, you don't have the strength, and I know you do. You do have the strength to become everything that you can be. But it's the thought that you can't be that. It's that negative thing that That battle of thought has been going on in the universe for a long, long time, and finally a decision was made to settle the issue once and for all. You know any stories like issues were settled once and for all in the Bible? And those Philistines, they shouting loud and clear, they had their 9 foot, 8 foot, 7 foot, eight, somewhere in there, giant of a man, probably a residue of the Anunnaki visitation, the corruption of the Anunnaki on this planet still with him. He was their hero, he was their champion, he was the energy that they were riding on, and they put him in the middle, and they were cursing God and the God of Israel, and David came along and he says, "You're letting this man curse like that?" You read the story, right? It's the story about two camps, and there's a story about two champions being chosen to settle the issue. Well, when they settled the issue and David chopped his head off with his own sword, well, they scattered. They didn't keep their covenant. They never intended to keep any covenant. Don't ever think they have a covenant to make. They don't. Those energies that need to be to contrast. How are you going to ever know? How is God ever going to tell you, "I will never abandon you," if you don't know what it's like to be abandoned?
There you go.
So somebody needs to abandon you. And when you came into this life, you may not believe it, but you wrote a contract and you said, "Yes, I need to experience that. I'm willing to experience that. I'm willing to live in a family where I'm going to feel like I'm totally abandoned, like my father just walked away from me and forgot me, left me at McDonald's." No, the negativity of life, the satan, the opposition, is a necessary ingredient that God needs. God's not trying to wipe that out. He just allows it as long as he needs it, and then he redeems the whole thing. But he wants to whisper in your soul what he's like, and he needs the contrast that you and I create. We are the creators of all that abandonment in our lives. We're not the only creators in the whole universe. I want to take all that on. Maybe my own life a little bit. All right, so the great question in the universe is, will a being given, truly, truly given free choice, free will, will they choose me? And God himself put the question out there. And the battle's been going on, and finally, a decision was made. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a few of these beings, and we're going to clothe them in flesh and drop them on a little planet, and we're going to have them create a paradigm, and that will settle the issue once and for all. And that paradigm is going to come in three stages, three primary stages. The first is the choosing of a people, the choosing of a man called Abraham. And a people, called the people of Israel. And we're going to take, by their choice, we're going to take their choice away from them. By their choice, think about it, God gathered them around the mountain and says, "Are you willing to do this?" And they said, "Yes." They'd just been in Egypt for several hundred years. They were willing for this. They were primed. The frequency change hit. The fire hit. They were willing. They said, "Yes, we can do this. We will do this." Well, you know what's going to happen to you, you know, if you don't. So they subjected themselves to obey a law so that all the universe could see that the law produces guilt.
Yes.
And when you make a promise and you don't keep it, then you are guilty and you need to make restitution. Simple principle, isn't it? If you say, "I'll be there at 4 o'clock, and you don't show, you pick up the phone and you apologize. You have guilt. You didn't do what you said. You couldn't meet the obligation, you ask for forgiveness. The guy's gracious enough, he says, I'll forgive you. If he's not gracious, he says, no, that's going to cost you $100. And you fork up your $100. But you do pay. The law is about payment. The law is not about forgiveness. The law is about payment. And many people want to live in that paradigm. It's one way to create life. We do it in this nation. I'm glad for some law. I hate to be living in a nation where there wasn't any law. But it's not the high frequency paradigm of God. It's a paradigm He gave to show you and I that it's not ultimate. It can't really meet your ultimate need, because the real guilt that you create in your life comes from your own imagination. It doesn't come from any law. It doesn't come from anything you agree to keep. You imagine it, and because you imagine it, it becomes real. You imagine you're not good enough for God. Yeah. Somebody told you, maybe you read it somewhere, maybe you feel that way, and you can't dare to ask God, because if you ask Him, God, am I not good enough? And then He says, yeah, you're not good enough, then you are done forever. Then there's no hope. Then there's no place to go. So you can't possibly ask God. And you just keep on struggling with this impossible idea that you're not... How can you not be good enough for God when you came from God and you're a very part of Him?
Yes.
Whoa. How come I can say this?
Yes.
Why can I say that? Because I'm looking into a different portal.
Yes. Yes.
I'm looking from a different point of view. That couldn't have been said at the beginning of that age. That age came. Let's see if I can find it on here. Let's see. Now, how do we identify the age? What was the sign, the prominent animal for the children of Israel was a ram?
Yeah.
Abraham had a ram caught in the thicket. And for the Egyptians, it was a bull, a calf. So, where is that? There it is. There's Taurus. And there's Aries. So right there would be Egypt, see? That's the Exodus. Right? And then you go backwards. There, at the end of the age of Aries, the age of sacrifice, see? The age of sacrifice came to an end. Can you imagine? This is in the stars. A long time. Why? Because the plan was hatched a long time before Abram came along. God didn't just hatch up a little plan with Abraham. No, He sent Abraham. Sent Adam. Sent them. Created the gene pool. Kept the seed pool clean enough so it could work. Right? So there He was, right between Abraham. At the end of the age of sacrifice, there's somebody came to put an end to sacrifices. Because it was done. The lesson was learned. It was shown. That guilt that you contract through a promise is not what hinders you. It's the guilt that you create out of your own mind. That God does not hold against you. That you create. That's what keeps the universe, all worlds, in bondage. It's not because they can't obey God. That's not their problem. The problem is we create guilt paradigms within ourselves, and we shut ourselves away from the divine presence. And all the universe needs to understand that principle. You go back to the garden sometime if you have time. Read the book. Read the story. And find out where they made a covenant. Find out where they said, yes, we will do that. Find out where they made a promise to God not to eat from the tree. It's not there. They didn't promise. They weren't asked. It wasn't a covenant. They were told. And when they couldn't obey, they made themselves the guilty ones. What did Adam say? God says, hey, why'd you eat the tree? He just wanted an answer. He just wanted to know. Hey, let's talk about this. This is a tree I told you didn't want to eat, but you ate of it. And really, if you'd only known this, it's really the way I want you to go, but I can't explain that to you. So tell me how you feel. He said, well, I'm sorry I did it. But my wife made me do it. Right? Yeah, I know that feeling. Right? And then And then the wife says, well, it's that, you see that snake over there? That serpent thing in my mind made me do this. I didn't do this. I'm not guilty. But they were. They became guilty by their own words. And they began to carry the guilt. The guilt of the cosmos was laid on them by their willingness. They agreed to this program beforehand. After they were into it, they became subject to it. They came to bear the sin of the world, the sin of the cosmos. They are the Lamb of God that Jesus gave a picture of. Although it's what you are. You came into this universe because you wanted to come. Did you hear this love that Kristen was talking about? Where does that come from? That's because that's who you are. You are the love of God materialized in form as a lamb to show all the cosmos, just like Christopher is saying, what God's really like. He needs a picture. He needs a portal to open. All right, let's take a look where the portal is so you can place yourself in time. We go backwards in time. Now let's place the Sphinx for a minute to show you that you're something much bigger than something that was hatched 3,000 years ago. This isn't just a promise to a man called Abraham. It isn't just something that happened in the garden between Adam and Eve and a serpent. And we are part of a much, much larger paradigm. And this particular picture, the Sphinx, who's looking at the pyramid. Go back to the here's what it says about that in our book. Now this is a race memory book. It holds stories that contain the race memory, not so much in the sense of stories that happen and are true, although they are stories and they did happen and they are true, but they hold the secret keys encoded here for you to remember why you came here. Yeah. That's the race memory you want to access. You don't want this. Of course you want to know what Abraham was thinking when he was trying to slaughter his own boy. Yeah, you want to go into. But no, what you want to remember, you want to go beyond that. You want to go before Abraham was, I am. There's an I am for you. Before Abraham was, I am. Before Adam was, I am. I came out of a degree of light and frequency and vibration. I came as a promise from God to fulfill a destiny. And I need to desperately, at all costs, I need to seek it. I need to find it. I need to access that memory. I need to know who I am. Because only in the empowerment of the knowledge of who you are can you walk out your destiny. You can't ever walk out your destiny if you don't know, if you don't have a glimpse of who you are. How can you be? How can you have an image of how to walk and how to be? And we're being given that, all right? This race memory. Now here it says this, just to show you we're not off some beaten metaphysical track here. Jeremiah 19:19. It's actually Isaiah 19:19. How about that? I had it wrong twice. All right, Isaiah 19:19. In that day, there shall be. Well, when did Jeremiah live? 600-700 BC or some 500 BC? In that day, that wasn't, the pyramids weren't built then. What's he talking about? Let's read on here. In that day there shall be an altar to the Lord, to Yahweh, to Yahuwah, to Tetragrammaton, to YHWH, an altar to YHWH in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar at the border thereof. Now, you know, the land of Egypt is shaped like a delta. Yeah, draw a delta. The River Nile, now it's probably good right there, I don't know. It's probably okay.
I think this is outside my job description, Dad.
Huh?
Draw a delta.
The river crosses all through Egypt, comes out into the Mediterranean, and Egypt that's referred to is...
I don't know what you mean.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
All right, the river comes down and empties like this. And all this land here, that's Egypt, is that triangle-shaped delta. That's Egypt, right? The point of the triangle is where the River Nile comes into it,
yeah.
Right? And the Mediterranean at the bottom. All right, so now that, where is the center of that figure? If you're going to draw this arc here, the center has to be right there, right? There's the center. And that's also the border. Isn't that the border of Egypt, the very end? All right. So at the border and the center of Egypt, there's a sign. And you know what's sitting on that spot? Bring it back. Bring back the picture. This is what's sitting at that spot. Not that one. Wait for it. There it is. There's the sign. That's the sign. What's the sign about?
The pillar.
The pillar and an altar. Right? Isaiah 19:19. In that day there shall be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt and a pillar at the border thereof to the Lord. So it's a sign, but it's been there. The different sources I read, some claim it's been there 400,000 years, some even longer than that. It definitely was not created by our race. We didn't create this. This has been there far too long. No, it's something that was placed there a long time ago. And it's a sign. To whom? Well, to whoever can read the sign. Well, strangely enough, a couple of Americans went over there and they found out something really interesting about this sign. It turns out that the three pyramids, I'm just going to do this briefly because the interesting part is the sign, not the details. Just pull it on out here, I guess.
This one has a better marker down.
All right, good. Now, the first interesting thing they found out is that those three pyramids that the Sphinx is looking at, this is a sign, right? I'm going to rub that off. Are situated in the plane exactly like three very, very special stars. A little about like this, and then the third one is off a little. And this is the big one, I think. And here I was, 18 years of age, going to a Baptist youth meeting. Trying to find God. Hungry for God. Didn't know what God was. Had an idea what God was. Just hungry for Him. Is there a cap on there? Mm-hmm. And I'm just walking along and I see those three stars in the sky. And I noted them. I didn't know what they were. They are the three stars in the belt of Orion. Yeah? You know Orion. There's a star up there, a star up there. He's got a bow up here, I think. A sword maybe out here. I don't know how it all goes. And a couple of bright stars down here. He's the mighty hunter. He's the shepherd. He's called a lot of different things. Nobody knows who designed that picture. There's nobody in our history. The different cultures had the same signs. We don't know who created these signs of the zodiac at all. We don't. So, 10 years later, Joan and I, we buy a bus. We paint it blue. We call it the Bluebird. We load in and off we go down to the United States, down to happiness, down to find life, to find our connection with Carolyn's father. We drive the bus all the way down and we park it there. And things didn't go in my life the way I thought they should. Have you ever noticed that? The happiness I was looking for didn't always come the way I thought it should. So one day, I was just laying in one of those bunks that I made for those beautiful children of mine. And I was just a-crying, and I was just a-crying out there. And I looked at the window, and guess what I saw in that window? Orion! Here he was again! You know, just like Joseph, they threw him down in the pit and they wondered what happened. And he looked out at the night sky, and there's that beautiful piece of round night sky. And what does he see there? He sees Orion. Why does he see Orion? Because that's his constellation. You know, he had a dream, and in this dream there were 12 star signs. And they were all in a circle, and they all bowed. All those constellations bowed to his constellation. And they actually lived to happen. Do you know that? That little guy, 17 years old when he dreamed it, and he didn't have enough sense not to tell his brothers, and they said, well, fix this little guy. And they threw him down a hole so they'd be never get out of it. They wanted to kill him, didn't you? You read the story. If you think that it's all happiness and peace back there, you got another thing coming. So they threw him down. He ever felt like he'd been thrown down into the pit? Right there he was, down in the hole in the pit, thinking his life came to an absolute end. And he looks up, and what does he see? He sees his own constellation up there. He sees those three stars. He sees those three stars. And there I was lying in my bunk bed looking out, just a-crying. I didn't even know what to ask God. You ever get to a place you don't even know what to... You just don't know. You're just so full of pain. You don't even know what to say. And I looked out there. Where are those three stars again? I finally got the connection. I think I got a connection with Orion. So I call myself Rock of Orion on my email. I don't think I came from Orion. Well, maybe I did. I don't know. But I got connection with this star sign. So I'm really interested in it. Don't you think I should be? And here God says, there'll be a sign. And when they start looking at this sign, these three pyramids on the plain of Giza Plateau, and here's the Sphinx sitting right here. Here's the Sphinx. He's looking at this middle one. He's looking at this middle. He's looking at it. Now, there's a clue. If this is a sign, he's looking at it. So, what these scientists did now, they've got marvelous software now. They can recreate the sky of any time in history. They can tell exactly where the stars were, 10,000, 20,000, 16,000, whatever. They can do it. So they took a look. And they said, well, what if we would stand on this pyramid and look over top of this one and watch the eastern sky and wait for this particular star to rise on the horizon? When will that happen? It's a sign. It's a timepiece. It's talking this, amongst other things, and I'm sure there's more, but this Sphinx looking at these pyramids is talking about a certain time. Now, I can't go into all the details how it works, but I tell you the dates it comes up with, all right? Comes up with two dates. One is 10,500 BC. I think that that's when the plan was initiated on the planet. I think that's the initiation of the plan. And the other date it comes up with down here is 2012 AD. So, now you want me to interpret the sign for you? All right. Here's my interpretation of the sign. There is a extremely significant point in time coming that you need to be aware of. In the great cycles of this cosmic clock, you want to bring that clock up again for a minute. There it is. All right, now it's not sitting exactly like we'd like it to, and you have to do it backwards. But if we start counting backwards from where we are, right, we are between...
There we go.
If we start counting backwards here, here Jesus and John the Baptist open the portal. Behold the Lamb of God. Take a look, you can see a cosmic window, not just for people, not just for Israelites bumping around on the planet, not just for heathens or for Chinese or for whoever, all people. No, for a cosmic audience consisting of levels of beings of light and darkness that you haven't even imagined. People that exist partly physically and partly electromagnetically, some who are totally electromagnetic beings, some who are totally physical and traveling physical spaceships, and some who never need a spaceship, and all that great host of population want to understand something about God, and they need to look through a portal, right? All right, here's a portal that opened here. Jesus and John the Baptist. Here's the portal of the law that opened, the beginning of wisdom, of understanding, the opening of the pathway of evolutionary consciousness on this planet to open that great portal that's to come. See? And then here, the beginning. Now, according to Bible, according to the way the Bible reads, it seems as if Adam came on the planet between... at the beginning of Taurus, but I think if we count back 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of them, here's Leo and Virgo, there is the Sphinx. I believe that's where the plan was initiated. I think that's when our incarnation began. I don't know whether we became physical immediately or whether it took all these ages for us to finally descend and find a portal, a tree, a snake, and a garden so that we could actually become incarnate, physical, limited, seemingly imperfect, seemingly failing. But we're not. We're eternal beings of light sent on a great mission, and we have clothed ourselves with limitation and imperfection purposely so we could open a portal that only a man can open. Only a man can open this portal. Only a mortal, physical, limited being full of faith and full of love can open this portal. Only a weak, seemingly despised, broken creature can open this great portal of light. So here we are. Now count the days. And the evening and the morning... we're the first day, so we get the evening first, all right? So the night first, if you like. Here we go. Here goes the night. Here goes the night. Here goes the night, right to there. The night. The night of death. The night of sleep. The dawning of a resurrection. the age of a resurrection. So Jesus said to his disciples, you think I am that one? And you're right, I am the Christ. I came for you. I came out of those greater worlds with my memory intact so I could remember my journey. I could remember how I came and how I leave. But you can't remember. But I've chosen you because I'm going to deposit my extraordinary awareness in you. And I'm telling you, you need to prepare a place down the road. So I'm going to give you a little experience. You go down the road. His last thing he said to them, now before I leave, I want to impart a message to you that you will not and cannot forget. And I says, you go down into the city and you'll see a man bearing a pitcher of water. And I like this one. They got a woman doing it.
I like it.
Don't you like it? Got a little belly button there. There it is. There he is. That's the man bearing a pitcher of water. You know what they saw when they went to Jerusalem? They saw a man bearing a pitcher of water. A physical man, just like he said. He wasn't an illusion. He wasn't an imagination. He wasn't a psychic phenomenon. He wasn't an allegory or a myth. He was a physical man with a pitcher of water on his head.
Yes.
And he said to him, follow him into the house. Well, these are called houses. You know that, don't you?
Yes.
So follow him into the house. What is that? The house of the pouring out of the pitcher of water. It's the house of Aquarius. It's the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. It's the sign that a portal will open so all the truth that Jesus of Nazareth brought will become available on this planet. So, now, what does he need to open a portal? Well, what did he use before? What did he use for this first portal, the Edenic portal? The Edenic portal, I think it's here, but we haven't got the timeline figured out proper. But if the Edenic portal is here, what was needed to open the Edenic portal? Well, we needed an Adam and an Eve and a snake. That snake has stayed around, you know. He didn't have opened that portal alone. He was there, and he said, Peter, he says, Peter, you get behind me. Maybe if you want to push me from behind me, all right. But get to behind me. Serve me. I'm not serving you. You serve me. This snake thing's still with us, serving us. It's not in some other race or some other people somewhere else. It's in us. It wouldn't be a problem. Maybe we could think it was in some other people. We could kill them all, send them back to God. We'd be rid of the problem. No! It's in you. You are both the problem and the solution. You are. You willingly took on the problem so you could be the solution. Because since by man death came into the world, only by man can come the resurrection. Right? So God needs people. Ordinary people in an ordinary place. Thank you. Thank you for singing that. He said, I think I just need to sing that song before you share. Ordinary people, you're hardly ordinary, but to yourself, you're just ordinary. What are you so different? You got a good education? Maybe some of you don't. Are you superbly intelligent? Well, some of you are, but some of you ain't. Some of you just plain right dumb. Like me. So, it's great. Whatever you are is what you chose, is what you asked for, is what you need to be for the great purpose. Whatever degree of intelligence, you can play a drum or play a music, how wonderful that is. But whatever you are is what you need to be. Whatever the frequency of your being, learn to love it. Learn to love your beingness. Learn to love your body. Learn to love all your thoughts and all your ways. And give them to God because they are all necessary and pleasing. All right, here we are. We're living at the end of the night cycle and we're coming into the day. And Jesus said to them, he said, there, prepare, you'll find an upper place all prepared for you. Hello, there's an upper place. We went looking for it, and we found it. Did we find? We found a place last night. We didn't have to create it. We found it, right? And then he says, and then he said, there prepare for us. That meant Jesus. Jesus is saying, in other words, my heart, mind, my consciousness has grown greatly, but I can't do this. I have left the form of flesh behind. I will not again come into the flesh, but you will be, and I will need you. And together, if we'll allow our heart mind to join, we can fill up the incarnation purpose of Adamic kind, and we will become the portal that will allow all creation to see something they've never been able to see before, and bring a golden age to act it out, to display it. And what does he need to do that? Well, he needs Alicia. He needs Chance. He needs
yes,
you.
Yes, 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 yes.
And your life, exactly the way it's happened, with your mom, you know the details a lot better than I do. What you've had to walk through is perfect for you.
Amen.
That's exactly what you need to become everything you can be. Not only is it perfect, it, if you believe it, it's what you wanted. So, that's the end of blame, isn't it? If it's what you wanted, then it becomes not just easy to forgive. It's not just about forgiving. Oh, you beat on me when I was a kid. I'm forgiving. Oh, no, I don't think so. You become thankful. Thankful for a white Chevy van on a parking lot. Thank you, God. That's the way I needed to come to fulfill my destiny. And more than anything in my life, I want to fill up the destiny for which purpose I've come. Isn't that what you are? And that's why you've all brought me joy, because you found that thing, God thing, that's yours, and you embraced it perfectly last night. You couldn't have been any better for me, any more wonderful. I thank you.